Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua our Messiah. The name of this show is Free Indeed, and I'm Nicholas. We've been studying the scriptures, ferreting out every little bit of information we could find on betrothal, marriage, and divorce, and I believe we've done a fairly thorough job over the last 7 days. So I wanted to clean up today by starting with a topic of contemporary importance, and that is the marriage license issue. I'm going to start by quoting a pastor, Matt Truella, in his 5 reasons why Christians should not obtain a marriage license. And I'm going to change one of his reasons a little bit because, well, he hasn't thoroughly studied the biblical marriage issue the way we have over the past 7 days, obviously. He remains ignorant on some points, as we all have been in the past, and I speak for myself specifically when I say that. But anyway, let's start. Every year, thousands of Christians amble down to their local county courthouse and obtain a marriage license from the state in order to marry their future spouse. They do this unquestioningly. They do it because their pastor has told them to get one, and besides, everybody else gets one. This pamphlet attempts to answer the question, why should we not get one? Number one, the definition of license demands that we not obtain one to marry. Black's Law Dictionary defines license as the permission by competent authority to do an act without such permission would be illegal. Now we need to ask ourselves, why should it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? More importantly, why should we need the state's permission to participate in something which Yahweh, or Hebrew writes, God instituted, Genesis 2:18-24? We should not need the state's permission to marry, nor should we grovel before the state officials to seek it. What if you apply and the state says no? You must understand that the authority to license implies the power to prohibit. A license, by definition, confers a right to do something. The state cannot grant the right to marry. It is a God-given right. Number two, when you marry with a marriage license, you grant the state jurisdiction over your marriage. When you marry with a marriage license, your marriage is a creature of the state. It is a corporation of the state. Therefore, they have jurisdiction over your marriage, including the fruit of your marriage. What is the fruit of your marriage? Your children and every piece of property you own. There's plenty of case law in American jurisprudence which declares this to be true. In 1993, parents were upset here in Wisconsin because a test was being administered to their children in government schools, which was very invasive of the family's privacy. When parents complained, they were shocked by the school bureaucrats who informed them that their children were required to take the test by law and that they would have to take the test because the government school, had jurisdiction over their children. When parents asked the bureaucrats what gave them jurisdictions, the bureaucrats answered, your marriage license and their birth certificates. Judicially, and increasing fashion, practically, your state marriage license has far-reaching implications. Number three, when you marry with a marriage license, you place yourself under a body of law which is immoral. By obtaining a marriage license, you place yourself under the jurisdiction of family court, which is governed by unbiblical and immoral laws. Under these laws, you can divorce for any reason. Often the courts side with the spouse who is in rebellion to God and castigates the spouse who remains faithful by ordering him or her not to speak about the Bible or other matters of faith when present with the children. As a minister, I cannot in good conscience perform a marriage which would place people under this immoral body of laws. I also cannot marry someone with a marriage license because to do so, I have to act as an agent of the state. I would have to sign the marriage license and I would have to mail it to the state. Given the state's demand to usurp the place of God and family regarding marriage, and given its unbiblical, immoral laws to govern marriage, it would be an act of treason for me to do so. The marriage license, number four, the marriage license invades and removes God-given parental authority. When you read the Bible, you see that God intended for children to have their father's blessings regarding whom they married. Daughters were to be given in marriage by their fathers. And he cites Deuteronomy 22:16, Exodus 22:17, and 1 Corinthians 7:38. You know, I'd like to take a look at those. Well, we may have missed those in our study of the scripture. So let's take a look at those. Deuteronomy 22:16 declares, "And the damsel's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her." So there we have an example of a father giving his daughter as a wife and seeking a remedy in law for her. Exodus 22:16 and 17. "If a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins." Well, this certainly isn't what is practiced in our society today. As you know, if in the case like this, usually it's just sex for fun, but sometimes it's not, and it gets more serious, and they decide to marry regardless of what the parents say. There is no honoring your father and mother in this society, but we can see here the example from the law that if the father refused to give her unto him, "I don't want my daughter marrying this man," if he refused, "he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins." So there, another example where the father is the head and can veto a marriage or arrange a marriage or pretty much have a freedom to do whatever he wants regarding betrothal, marriage, and so forth of his daughters. So we'll pick up back here in the fourth reason not to get a license. The marriage license invades and removes God-given parental authority. Okay, he says, when you read the Bible, you see that Yahweh intended for children to have their father's blessing regarding whom they married. Daughters were to be given in marriage by their fathers. We still have a vestige of that in our culture today, in that the father takes his daughter to the front of the altar and minister asks, "Who gives this woman to be married to this man?" Historically, there was no requirement to obtain a license, marriage license, in colonial America. When you read the laws of the colonies and then the states, you see only two requirements for marriage. First, you had to obtain your parents' permission to marry. And second, you had to post public notice of the marriage 5 to 15 days before the ceremony. Notice you had to obtain your parents' permission. Back then, you saw godly government displayed in what the state recognized, in that the state recognized the parents' authority by demanding that the parents' permission be obtained. Today, the all-encompassing, ungodly state demands that their permission be obtained to marry. And I want to stop right there and look at a little bit of law, because this isn't quite true. It may be in some states, but right now I'm on the land in California, and the beast government here is the corporation state of California. And what does their law say? Let's go over here. And this is from a California website. It says, "The federal and state constitutions protect religious freedom. Religious officials may currently refuse to perform marriages that do not fulfill the requirements of their religious faith." So I contend that any marriage by a religious official is recognized by the state, whether a license is obtained or not, because the religious freedom and, okay, it says here, and I was talking about a new act, the Religious Freedom and Civil Marriage Protection Act does not change this principle in any respect, but in fact reinforces it. The bill does not require any religious official to perform marriages that conflict with their religious beliefs. So that would allow the clergy to the freedom to refuse to perform marriages that are licensed, or any marriage that does not conform to their religious beliefs. That would include marriages for same-sex partners. And that's the law currently. That may change and may not remain that way for state corporations, churches that are state corporations. Well, they must follow public policy as it is. So for state public corporations, they have no right to refuse any marriage in the state of California that complies with public policy just because it goes against their religious beliefs, because they are first to the state, a state corporation, and they are officers of the state. Let's jump back to our article. It continues. By issuing marriage licenses, the state is saying, you don't need your parents' permission. You need our permission. If parents are opposed to their child's marrying a certain person and refuse to give their permission, the child can do an end run around the parent's authority by obtaining the state's permission to end marry anyway. This is an invasion and removal of God-given parental authority by the state. This is a usurpation of power, because even I was reading in the state law here, and let me jump back there for a second. Well, I lost the reference anyway, but you can look it up in the law. The fact is, they list a whole slew of people who are authorized by the state to perform state marriages, and nowhere is a father of the bride listed anywhere in any of the and in any of those. I mean, they even have tax court officials can do a marriage, bankruptcy court, probate court officials can do a marriage. It was just amazing reading through that list. Anyway, you can look that up. You can do a search on the internet yourself and take a look at that. It's amazing. Reason number five. When you marry with a marriage license, you are like a polygamist. From the state's point of view, when you marry with a marriage license, you are not just marrying your spouse, but you are also marrying the state. Well, here's a problem with that. Biblical polygamy does not allow three people to get married. That's right. So you're not like a polygamist. I mean, I guess some polygamists could marry two women at one time and they could all become husband and wives, maybe, but that's unheard of in biblical marriage. In biblical marriage, the husband marries each wife and becomes one flesh with each wife. So that's not polygamy. That would be, well, more like the type of marriage. Well, I like the way my good friend Alfred Adass puts it. He calls it a ménage à trois. That's what he calls a state-licensed marriage between a man, a woman, and the state. But he goes on, the most blatant declaration of this fact that I ever found was a brochure entitled, With This Ring I Thee Wed. It is found in county courthouses across Ohio where people go to obtain their marriage licenses. It is published by the Ohio State Bar Association. The opening paragraph under the subtitle, Marriage Vows, states, when you repeat your marriage vows, you enter into a legal contract. There are three parties to that contract. You, one, two, your husband or wife, as the case may be, and three, the state of Ohio. See, the state and the lawyers know that when you marry with a marriage license, you are not just marrying your spouse, you are marrying the state. You are like a, well, he says, polygamist. You are not just making a vow to your spouse, but you are making a vow to the state and your spouse. You are also giving undue jurisdiction to the state. When does the state have jurisdiction over marriage? Question. Answer. God intended the state to have jurisdiction over a marriage for two reasons. In the case of divorce, and two, when crimes are committed, adultery, bigamy, etc. Unfortunately, the state now allows for divorce for any reason, does not prosecute for adultery. Well, this is not true. This man is wrong in this case, and maybe I'll give him an email. God did not intend for the state to have jurisdiction over marriages in the case of divorce. The man gave his wife, we went through the law, we studied it. If you've been through with me, through this whole study with me, you know that the man could give his wife a writ of divorcement if he wouldn't, and his wife could leave him for a lawful cause. She could go to the judges and get a writ from them. Or they would force the husband to give her a writ of divorcement so that she wouldn't be an adulterer and she would be free to marry again. So this guy, the pastor who wrote this obviously does not know the law of Yahweh as well as what we've learned here during this study. And he goes on, when crimes are committed, i.e. adultery. Well, in the state, adultery is not a crime. Bigamy. Yes. But bigamy under God's law is not necessary, because a man was allowed to have more than one wife. So the state has jurisdiction over state marriages for these reasons. Divorce, bigamy, adultery. They don't care if you commit adultery. because it's not illegal to commit adultery with the state. And he goes on, unfortunately, the state now allows divorce for any reason. It does not prosecute for adultery. Now, it used to be quite different. It used to be that if a man caught his wife in bed with another man committing adultery, if he caught them in the act and he killed both of them, that he would be exonerated, that he would not be prosecuted for murder. Well, things aren't that way today, are they? You'll be prosecuted by the state for murder in that case, so I wouldn't advise doing anything like that. And believe me, it is not worth going to prison over your spouse committing adultery. And I know how it feels. I've been there, and I've had two unfaithful wives, so I've dealt with all of those feelings, and believe me, they're not worth it. No adulterer is worth it. He goes on. In either case, divorce or crime, a marriage license is not necessary for the courts to determine whether a marriage existed or not. What is needed are witnesses. This is why you have a best man and a maid of honor. They should sign the marriage certificate in your family Bible, and the wedding day guest book should be kept. And that's true. I attend a church at Kauai, and they have a book. They keep a book. They issue a marriage certificate for marriages that they perform under the law of the Holy Scripture. And nowhere is there in there is the power vested in them by the state of California, because the power is not vested in them by the state of California, but the power is vested in them by the couple's willingness to marry. And in the case of where they're young people, it would be by the permission of the parents. He goes on in the article here. Marriage was instituted by God. Therefore, it is a God-given right. According to Scripture, it is to be governed by the family. He has that right. And the state only has jurisdiction in the cases of divorce or crime. Well, that's not true about a godly marriage according to the laws of God. The divorce should be according to God's law. And because here's the thing is, see, I've been married twice under God's law, but the state could not perform a divorce. I couldn't go get a divorce from the state because I was never married from the state. So this man, he's a little mixed up. I mean, he's on the right track. I give him credit for that. But if you're married by the law of God, then you get divorced by the law of God. And if one spouse commits adultery and leaves the marriage without a lawful cause, then the other one is free to remarry according to Paul. We've discussed all this. So I'm going to continue this article here since we're focusing on the marriage license. History of marriage licenses in America. George Washington was married without a marriage license. So how did we come to this place in America where marriage licenses are issued? Historically, all of the states in America had laws outlawing the marriage of blacks and whites. In the mid-1800s, certain states began allowing interracial marriages or miscegenation as long as those marrying received a license from the state. Well, that's ungodly, too. We know that Yahweh required... This is kind of a spin-off and a misunderstanding of Yahweh's law, this not allowing interracial marriages, because they'll go back to the Old Testament. We went all through this, how that the children of Israel were not supposed to take strange wives, the wives of other nations who followed other gods. But we also found that in the case of some of the godly women who were not born of Israel, but who converted to the faith and married men of the children of Israel, that this was lawful. It was lawful for someone to become a member of the faith of Israel or of the household of Israel, and they became an Israelite, and then they could marry an Israelite. And that was allowed. It had nothing to do with color or race, but it had to do with faith. And that is clearly demonstrated. And that law is carried over into the New Testament, as still there's no prohibition from a Greek marrying a Jew or otherwise, an Israelite follower of Christ marrying a Roman follower of Christ. The thing is that they share the faith. They were followers of Christ. They belong to the same nation. And we're talking about the nation of God, the kingdom of God. And that's what's really important when it comes to marriage. Okay, so, but anyway, I'll continue his article here. Historically, all the states of America had laws. And he said this, this certain states began allowing interracial marriage or miscegenation as long as those marrying received a license from the state. In other words, they had to receive permission to do an act with which without such permission would have been illegal. And, okay, so that was a state law. That was not a law of God. He goes on here. Black's Law Dictionary points to this historical fact when it defines marriage license as a license or permission granted by public authority to persons who intend to intermarry. Intermarry is defined in Black's Law Dictionary as miscegenation, mixed or interracial marriage. Give the state an inch and they will take 100 miles, or as one elderly woman once said to me, 10,000 miles. Not long after these licenses were issued, some states began requiring all people who married to obtain marriage licenses. In 1923, the federal government established the Uniform Marriage and Marriage License Act. They later established the Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act. By 1929, every state in the Union had adopted marriage license laws. And he asked the question, what should we do? He goes on, when I marry a couple, I always buy them a family Bible, which contains birth and death records, and a marriage certificate. We record the marriage in the family Bible. What's recorded in the family Bible will stand up as legal evidence in any court of law in America. See, he's using that religious exclusion from marriages that are abhorrent to your religion, using that First Amendment right. So what's recorded in the family Bible will stand up as legal evidence in any court of law in America. Early Americans were married without marriage licenses. They simply recorded their marriages in their family Bibles. So should we. And he goes on, there's a note here. Pastor Twella has been marrying couples without marriage licenses for 10 years. Many other pastors also refuse to marry couples with state marriage licenses. And yes, I know some that have been marrying without marriage licenses for many years. So this is basically what we have learned, that the prohibition against the state intruding upon religious matters cannot require anyone to get a marriage certificate to marry. While the state may not recognize a marriage by a father, it may do just as well to seek out a pastor to marry you. However, I believe because of the religious liberty clause of the First Amendment to the Constitution, and we need to take advantage of these laws wherever possible and use them for our benefit. Paul did the same thing, so we should too. I believe that even a marriage performed by the father of the bride and recorded in the family Bible would hold up in any court in the land, especially under the protection of the free exercise of religion. So I think it's quite clear that we're talking about different law forms here. In the kingdom of Yahweh, you need a license to marry too, in the kingdom of God. But the license is permission from your parents. In the absence of your parents, where say you're older, you're an adult, you're not a young person, then, well, perhaps you would still need the permission of your parents if they're alive. Now, what if your parents are not alive? How do you make that decision? Well, I would say prayerfully with the parent that you do have. Because we all have a Father, our Father, which is in heaven. And perhaps you may, well, in the case of a woman, and under the law, she would go to her head, her headship, as Rebecca was under the leadership of her brother Laban, because obviously their father was deceased. So it was given to Laban. He was her headship. The unfortunate thing about modern Christianity and corporate Christianity in America is we've abandoned God's law and we've just left God's people out here to flounder in the darkness without any direction. Or every church has its own direction or own tradition or whatever, but none of them really follow the scripture, and they don't follow it. Why? Because they say that Yeshua nailed the law to the cross so we don't have to follow it anymore? How ridiculous a statement is that? So now, what, we're going to live by the ungodly laws of man because Yeshua nailed the laws of God to the cross and we don't have to follow them anymore? Do you see how absurd it is? And people say, oh, but we must get a license from the state because we must follow every statute of man. Or doesn't Romans 13 say, let every soul be subject to the higher powers? We must do whatever man's law says. Well, you know, there's a lot of churches that try to use that one to justify incorporating with the state, when the reality is there is no state law that requires them to incorporate. So yes, we should obey every law that applies to us, but we've seen from man's law itself that they recognize that we have the right to religious liberty, and in the case of marriage, that we do not need to obtain a marriage license if it conflicts with our religious beliefs. It is foolish to say that we must obey every law and every statute of man, because so many of the laws are not mandatory, but voluntary. And many of the laws do not apply to us. Whose law is higher? If Yahweh allows something and the state does not allow it, should you do it? God required Peter to go out and preach. The state came by and said, you don't have a license to preach on this corner. And they chased him away. I think maybe they even put him in prison for the night. And they went out the next day and they did the same thing. And they said, didn't we tell you? You don't have a license. Well, you don't have permission to preach on this corner. And they said, whom should we obey, God or man? You tell us. Did you know that you are AWOL right now? That's right. You're absent without leave. And you didn't even know it. Because there's a statute that says that if you don't get back to the base by a certain time when you're on leave, that you've broken the law. You can be punished or be charged with desertion. Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't apply to me. Why doesn't it apply to me? Well, because I haven't signed a contract with the military. Well, see, I don't have to obey every statute of man. That statute must apply to me. And so it is with most of the statutes of man. You volunteer into an agreement with these ungodly governments, and then you become bound to obey every rule that you've agreed to obey. When you get a marriage license, you agree with the state that they're a party to your marriage, that they get to govern your marriage relationship, that you're the product of your marriage belongs to them because they are an equal partner in your marriage. And just to think, very soon this will happen, because it has to happen. It may even go to the Supreme Court, but it's coming, people. Same-sex marriages licensed by the state. And since the definition of a license is permission to do that which would otherwise be illegal, well, why don't we say unlawful, because it is unlawful for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. I'd say they need a license because they need permission from somebody. The state can give them permission, and it will give them permission. It has no choice. What's it going to base its denial of permission for them to marry on? The law of God? It's the only thing that stands. Right now it's based on politics. And politics is the only thing holding it back. But it won't be long. It's coming, people. It's coming fast. Yes, your homosexuals will be able to get married throughout the United States. Once one state recognizes it, all of the other states have to recognize it too, under their treaty called the Constitution. That's right. That's what the Constitution was, a treaty between the states. So if one state recognizes it, they will all recognize it. The laws will be uniform. So you'll be right up there with the homosexuals and the person who wants to marry their elephant or their dog or their cat. They will not be able to deny even bestiality. Might be kind of hard getting the beast to convince that it is consenting, though. Okay, let's come back on the other side of the break and we'll wrap it up with some more questions and answers.